Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 13. We're going to scan this whole chapter. I'm not going to read every verse, but I do want to read verse 26 because it contains the title of my message. Paul is preaching, and he says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." To you is the word of this salvation sent. I want to preach this morning on the word of salvation. Now, the setting of this text is as follows. Paul and Barnabas had been ordained, set apart by the Holy Spirit, and sent by the church, which was at Antioch, to preach the gospel and to establish New Testament churches. That's chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. They had sailed to Cyprus, where they encountered Elymas the sorcerer, and they rebuked him. But there was a deputy, a government official there by the name of Sergius Paulus, who heard the gospel, who heard the word of God, and was saved. They departed from Cyprus, and they set sail for Perga in Pamphylia, which is where John Mark decided to leave the missionary band and go back to Jerusalem. I'm giving you just a scan of what transpired to bring us to verse 26. So, as their custom was, they went from Perga, they traveled to Antioch in Pisidia. And their custom was that they would first, if there was a Jewish synagogue in the city, they would go there on the Sabbath day. And the rulers of the synagogue there offered Paul and Barnabas an opportunity to speak. Verse 15 and 16. "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." I thought, as I read that, well, that's like saying sic 'em to a dog. You know? Here is this missionary, this gospel preacher. He goes to the synagogue, and the guys in charge say, "Hey, do you have anything you want to say?" "Oh, yes, I do." And he began to, he gave them a brief overview of the history of Israel that had brought them to this point where the Messiah had been revealed. So Paul began to preach unto them regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 23 about David's seed, "Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Here's what I love about the preaching of the book of Acts. It's all about Jesus. Nothing about religion. Nothing about the works of the law. Nothing about the ordinances as a means of salvation. It's all about Jesus. And he says in verse 24, "When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Who think ye that I am? I am not he, But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. The word of this salvation is the gospel of Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he began to preach Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. The next week, the whole city came out to hear the message that Paul was preaching. But the Jews, because of envy, spoke against the things that he preached. And it's the reason why when people were gathering, Jews and Gentiles wanted to hear the word of this salvation. In verse 45 says, but when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Now I love this. In the face of opposition by religious leaders, by Jewish religious leaders, they waxed bold. I pray that God will raise up some bold preachers who won't back down, who will stand faithfully and preach the gospel of the grace of God. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now those were fighting words to these Jews. The Jews hated the Gentiles. The Jews at that time thought that God was only going to deal with them. But the gospel was meant to be preached to all nations, to all people, to all races, to all cultures, to every kindred, tribe, and tongue. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. There's the order. They were appointed. They were ordained to eternal life. That was the cause of their believing. Now, the word of salvation. One thing that stands out in this chapter is that there is a vital connection between the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel, and salvation. God has ordained that the preaching of the gospel is employed by the Holy Spirit in drawing men and women to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God is making it very clear that the preaching of the gospel is to go forth into all land. That's exactly what Jesus said. Preach the gospel to every creature, Jew and Gentile. God doesn't save people apart from the preaching of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, the first churches in the New Testament took the responsibility of the commission Christ gave to spread the gospel of salvation to every creature. They took that seriously. Go back to Luke chapter 24. Luke is the writer of Acts, by the way. Here's what Christ said, and Luke records it in verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Look over at Acts chapter 4. You'll find that the early churches took this seriously. Acts 4 and verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Christ Jesus. Acts 8 and verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Acts 8 and verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. It's Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Acts 10, verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And then Acts 13. This is what Paul said not long after, when he said, the word to you, the word of this salvation is sent. Verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Message is the same. A unified message all the way through the book of Acts, that this word of salvation is all about Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. That's the message consistently that they preach. And it's one of the reasons why I say that the best place for any sinner to be is under the sound of the gospel message. Listening to the truth of God's word being preached. Now, so don't ever listen. If a church doesn't believe in preaching the gospel, they're not a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that our responsibility is to go into all the world and preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, plus nothing, minus nothing, you're not the kind of church that you find in the New Testament. Because they preach the gospel. The second point I want to make is, to whom is this word of salvation sent? Paul preached to everybody. He had no idea who would be saved. He had no idea whose names had been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. He just went out, took the gospel seed, and scattered it everywhere he went. So the word of salvation is sent in a general sense to all people, to every man, woman, boy, and girl. The gospel message is to be declared in every nation, among every tribe, among every kindred, in every language, in all four corners of the world. And thank God, it is being accomplished. The Word of God is going out. Now, even though every time the gospel is preached, it is a call to repentance and faith in Christ, this common call will be refused, always. And if you don't believe me, go out door knocking. Start passing out tracts. Talk to people about the gospel. Not about religion, but about their need of the Savior. And a lot of people, they'll say, "Oh, I'm satisfied with my religion. I don't want to hear it. I go to church. I sing in the choir. I put $10 in the plate. I do this." No, I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about, are you right with God? Have you truly been saved from your sins? But the call goes out, and people refuse to believe it apart from the convicting, drawing, and regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. I preached just a few weeks ago. Remember, human inability. The next message was God's ability. No man can come unto the Father. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him again at the last day. In our chapter, the Jews refused to hearken. They would not hear. But the Gentiles gladly heard the word. They believed. And God gives you the reason why they believed. Why did the Jews refuse and the Gentiles believe? Well, it says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord," the word of salvation. "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." That's the reason why. The word of salvation may be sent in a general way universally, but it's only received by those whom the Spirit of God has effectually and internally worked on. Believe me, if the word of salvation has come to you effectually, It does something to you. It's sent and received by people who see themselves as sinners in need of a Savior. They need a physician to cure their sin-sick soul. That's what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 9 when he said, "I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." They're the ones that need the physician. People that see their sin, their corruption, their rebellion, their disobedience, their law breaking, they're convicted of it, and they want Christ more than anything else in the world. Maybe that's you today. Maybe the Spirit of God has worked on you in such a way, and you say today, "I want to know Christ. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be saved more than anything else in the world." When the Spirit of God works on you, I believe you want to be saved. And you'll see yourself as one who needs the Savior. The word of salvation is sent and received by those that see themselves as lost, in need of the Savior. They see themselves as sinners, worthy of hell, worthy of justice, under the condemnation of God's law. That is what caused the publican to cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The word of salvation is sent and received by those who are granted the gifts of repentance and saving faith. When God truly does a work in your heart, you have a change of mind, a change of heart. The only way I can explain it is, for the first time in my life, God opened my eyes to see what I really was. A sinner, guilty, broken, under the law, condemned. But He didn't leave me there. He changed my mind and gave me the grace to turn from my sin and embrace the only remedy, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not a complicated message. All the way through the book of Acts, I mean, think about it. How about the Philippian jailer as a prime example? Do you think the Philippian jailer knew any theology whatsoever? Did he know or understand the Word of the living God? No. He simply cried out. He had heard Paul and Silas singing at night, in the middle of the night, praising God for His grace. He thought, with all those prisoners about ready to escape, he was going to lose his life. He was about ready to kill himself. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he didn't go into a long theological discussion about the decrees of God and about all the other things relating to that. No, Paul's message was direct and simple, and it's direct and simple to you today. Do you feel your need? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That was the message. And he believed. Changed him forever. So this morning, do you have a desire to know Jesus Christ? To be saved from your sins? Do you see your condition before God? Do you feel guilty? Do you feel hopeless? Do you feel like you have no spiritual strength? Well, don't despair. God's brought you to that place. He could be drawing you this very moment to Jesus Christ, convincing you of your sin and revealing the righteousness of God in Christ to you. And I can tell you something, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. To know that you have peace with God. To know that your sins are forgiven. To know that somebody loves you so much that they were willing to give their life. And that someone who was willing to do that is the most wonderful, gracious, holy person in all the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way of salvation. There is a reason why you're under the sound of my voice today. To you is the word of this salvation sent. Now, on the other hand, this morning, if you feel as though you're all right and you're satisfied with your own righteousness, your religious opinions, and you reject Christ, and you reject the word of salvation, it's not sent to you. A Savior is only meet for those who truly see their need of deliverance from the bondage of sin. What is the word of salvation that is sent? Now, I've hinted at it throughout the whole message. But I'll tell you what it's not. The word of salvation is not the rituals or ceremonies of popery. And I don't mean popery. I mean popery. Roman Catholicism. Salvation does not consist of human mediators and human priests or departed saints or beads or masses or confessions made to priests or drops of water on a baby's head or going to church. That's not the word of salvation. It's not in a religion. It's not in a denomination. The word of salvation is in Christ. It's not the gospel of the works of the law. In fact, Paul stated that in verse 39, "And by Him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." You're not saved by what you do, by your law keeping, by your standard keeping, by your rituals or your ordinances. You don't earn salvation. Salvation is a gift to the guilty, not a reward for the self-righteous. No man shall be justified by the deeds of the law. No flesh shall be justified by the deeds of the law. Why is that? You don't have a hope of fulfilling the perfection of the Ten Commandments. And if you think you do, you're deceiving yourself. Because you've got plenty of idols in your life. I guarantee you that you've dishonored your parents at one time or another through rebellion. You've had lustful thoughts of fornication and adultery. You've had mean-spirited, vengeful thoughts. Jesus said that that's the same as murder, as if you committed the act of murder. I guarantee you, everybody here, everybody under the sound of my voice, is guilty of covetousness, desiring something to the point where you'll do anything you can to get it. It's idolatry. You don't measure up to the Ten Commandments. And every time I witness to somebody else, if they ever say, and God help them if they say this, because I always say something back to them. They say, I keep the Ten Commandments. I say, wow. You do? You keep the Ten? Yes, I do. Oh, great. Name five of them. Just name five of them for me. Name the five that you keep. And inevitably, and listen, the day and age in which we live, I'm going to tell you, you better teach your kids the law. You better teach them the gospel. The day and age we live, most people have no frame of reference. They don't know what the Ten Commandments are. They don't know what the gospel is. You're not saved by law keeping. If you think you're good enough to get to heaven, I guarantee you, you're not going. Now, a lot of people say that's just a little too plain of preaching. But that's what Jesus said. when he gave the example of the publican, he ripped those Pharisees and their self-righteousness to shreds. When he told them that this publican that wouldn't even so much as lift up his head, he's going to his house justified, while you who are self-righteous, who prayed with yourself, you're going to be condemned. I'll tell you what it's not, the word of salvation. It's not the water gospel of baptism that Catholics and Protestants have been preaching for centuries. H2O has no power to cleanse a defiled heart or a carnal mind. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away sin. This word of salvation is all about the Lord Jesus. The message is clear. Acts 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. He's the promised Savior. He's the punished Savior. Verse 28, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. He's the punished Savior. He's the risen Savior. What's the message? Christ came to die for sinners. He was buried, and he rose again according to the Scriptures. That is the word of salvation. And there's only one gospel. And it's the gospel that was preached unto Abraham. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Somebody on Facebook wrote that there's like five gospels. A long time ago, at first, I kind of was like my dad was. My dad, it's so funny to hear him talk about Facebook. If somebody makes a general announcement, he thinks it's a personal invitation to him, all right? And he says, so-and-so invite. I said, Dad, no, they were just announcing something. But anyway, when I first got on Facebook, I thought every little theological discussion was something I had to set straight, man. And for the first week, it was driving me crazy. Until I realized, you know what? People say stuff and they lie about it. I learned not to get so involved in all that theological controversy. But when I see somebody say that there's five gospels, I won't let that stand. Because Paul said, if you preach any other gospel than that which I have delivered unto you, let him be accursed. If an angel preaches another gospel, let him be accursed, condemned. But when the word of this salvation has been received, it produces the result of Acts 13:48. It says, they heard, they were glad, they glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But notice something. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. There were people that received it and rejoiced in it. But there were Jews that didn't.
and they judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life. And the opposite of that is everlasting judgment. You refuse, you reject the gospel of the grace of God, you do so to your own peril. The Bible makes it clear. And think about how many times you've heard the gospel. You're responsible to repent and believe. The Bible says this, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. This word of salvation, you've heard it. Lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, in other words, if sin is going to be punished, how shall we escape that punishment if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? You reject this message, the wrath of God is going to be revealed against you. You'll be judged for your sins. If you died today, you'd go to hell to await the day of the resurrection of the unjust dead. And you'll stand before the great white throne of judgment. And you'll not offer any excuse for your rebellion and your rejection. And you'll suffer the punishment of the lake of fire. To you is this word of salvation sent. I plead with you. Hearken. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's all stand.
Page number 248.